Welcome to the Pintcast. Joining me this week are Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. And Alex, you can follow him at the underscore Beck underscore.
No more followers, please.
No more followers. Yeah, he has too many. Travis is going to get jealous and he will never go over.
He's already jealous.
And it's going to be a sad, sad day. Speaking of sad days, gentlemen, this is the first time in a while we've had a Pintcast after a week of multiple defeats. I can't remember the last one, which is kind of nice because it's been probably since last season at some point when things were not so rosy.
One point out of nine.
But, I mean, to be fair, well, we're going to start with the Champions League action. We will get there first. We'll get to the league shit after. But to be fair, I mean, it's almost like when you get a defeat, right? Even like the other defeat in the Champions League to Dortmund, as long as you progress, it doesn't hurt as much as, say, a defeat in the league. So it doesn't feel the same, at least to me.
I agree with you.
But let's start with the match in Napoli. It was an interesting day out in Italy. We had qualification, not assured, but quite likely. Many people were ringing the changes, asking for rotation and looking for the team. To get a rest ahead of the City match. But Arsene, I think, had started with a very dedicated lineup. I thought there was rotation, but still a strong team. I had my questions with tactics and whatnot, but let's get to your analysis, Alex. Tell me what you thought about the way we set up in Napoli and what we looked to do.
Well, I thought we were going to rotate to the maximum, but obviously that's just like a fan vision. I mean, we have an important game. We have to get 3 points. We have to draw at least because it's important that we top the group, and I'm sure the manager wanted to do that. And so we played the strongest team possible. There were so many things at Napoli we could see that transpired to the lineup on Saturday, or yesterday. Like, for example, with one Real and Gibbs. Gibbs has either played himself out or he just really needs a rest. He's on red because he hasn't played the last two games. Wilshere, he might have had a knock because his performance against City should suggest that he does have something wrong with him.
I think the finger was something wrong with his finger yesterday. So
yeah, that's his finger too. He's got really chubby fingers, bigger than mine. I mean, look at these. But we started Giroud, which was really, really positive. And a part of me, we always knew it was going to be a strong game, but we just didn't expect it that much. So I was really impressed with the lineup. I wasn't even impressed with how it performed after 55 minutes. But up until then, no matter how uncontrolled the game was, we were doing our job. You know, our job was to get at least a point there. And we were doing it until they scored. And I look at some moments where we could have got something out of the game, but Napoli were really good. We were completely tired, you know. But by 60, 70 minutes, we felt like we were walking and they were running. And the whole team, the whole club's fitness, the whole team's fitness, it feels really low right now. And it instantly had been worried for the City game. And I thought we might see more rotation or we might see some kind of magic rejuvenation, but we didn't see that.
Joseph, what did you think of the lineup? I mean, did you agree with Alex in the beginning? You were happy with the lineup as the way it looked prior to the match?
I didn't have any problems with the lineup. I mean, I thought maybe we'd see Nacho that match, but I mean, the way that both of them have been playing, it didn't really bother me who started, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with the lineup. I was fine. I mean, I'm wishing that we could rest a player, more players, but we just can't. I mean,
we can't.
Giroud's been flat for weeks because he's exhausted.
Yeah, and that's something that's to be expected when he has to play week in, week out, right? I'm with Alex in terms of the lineup because looking at that match, because I thought, You know, we rotated a couple of players that needed rotation. You know, we did see a midfield of including Flamini and Arteta, which has given us mixed results. It's looked really good some matches, not so great others.
Right.
So Ramsey got a rest, which obviously he needed. Wilshere rested. And you see a guy like, you know, Thomas Rosicki started, I think, every, if not almost every, Champions League group stage match so far, which shows a lot about the faith being put in him by Arsene Wenger. I mean, I wish he was fit enough to where he could have even potentially played at City, but we know that he's only good for one match a week. You know,
he's going to get a new contract in January.
Good. Good. I mean, look, a player who's of his caliber and his class, who's willing to accept a bit part role, starting one match a week or getting minutes in one match a week, you know, you have to have players that learn to accept, you know, reduced roles. I mean, I think Giggs probably should have hung it up at least a year ago, but he still contributes off a bench and as an occasional starter, and we need a couple players like this, and, you know, long may they last and wear the Arsenal red and white.
I saw Rosicki on a few Juventus wish lists
for next summer,
which I was surprised. I was like, they'd rather have him than certain people. I was like, wow.
Well, and then listen, Juve only like taking players on freeze, right? So yeah, like his contract will be expired because they got Tevez, right, for knockdown price, right? I think he had 1 year left on his contract.
Llorente was a bargain.
Llorente for free. No, Llorente was free. Got him on the Bosman. You know, who else? Like, who else did they sign? They took Pogba on a free.
Pirlo on a free.
All of their most influential players.
Vidal was very cheap.
Yeah.
This time it was very cheap.
Where did they get Vidal from? He was playing somewhere else in Italy before, right?
I don't remember. I'm sorry. I don't know.
He's been their standout. He's been their Ramsey this season. It's been very
impressive. Scoring penalties. Lots of penalties.
Yes,
he's been very good.
Yeah. But he's scoring plenty from the round of play as well.
They bought him from Germany, Leverkusen.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah, he had 4 years in Germany.
Oh, that's right. Well, so back to this match in Naples. I think I had more of an issue with some of the tactics and what happened in that match than what happened at the weekend against City. It's tough to say because, you know, always hindsight's always 20/20. You know, that game was calling out for, you know,
an attacking midfielder,
but also calling out for Theo's pace. You know, I know I wasn't the only one calling for that at the time. You're just kind of like, you need someone to be able to hit them on the break. But, you know, once again, I can't really second guess all these decisions. You know, I'm not, you know, we don't know what kind of fitness concerns they have. And obviously there's plenty of people playing with that are knackered to a, you know, different extents.
Hindsight wise, it would have been even nice to see Gnabry. Like,
right.
The game needed something fresh. You know, we didn't have anything to inject. And
yeah, an interjection of pace. One.
If Wilshere, yeah. Yeah. If,
well,
if
I mean,
Wilshere
we,
was,
we might have seen Theo if Arteta doesn't go off though.
That's true. It's true.
Even for the last 20, we might have seen him.
But so, let's get down to those tactical things. I mean, I thought, even though I know Arteta's a cool – he's the kind of guy that even on a yellow, you expect him to be able to do well enough to not get sent off. And let's be fair. Let's be fair. The foul, you know, they made a meal out of the foul, you know, which he would – I mean, obviously, these are Italian players or playing for an Italian club in Italy. No, this guy's on a yellow, you know? And then look at this fucking referee. Hey, so was this referee actually the man who was in the Camp Nou also? Because I heard about he was a referee in the Milan match. What an absolute cunt. I want to cast that bastard.
We were fouled all match long.
Two players made over five fouls. Jamali and Bairami.
Yeah.
They made more than five
Bairami
fouls
was
on
a
each
cunt
other.
All gay.
Yeah. When is Bairami not a cunt? Did you ever see Rami play? No.
Yes.
That's about it. So that's pretty typical and pretty expected. That referee, what a fucking twat there.
How many podcasts do we have a year about the referee when we lose or draw? And it's directly related to the result. It's not always that we're just complaining for the sake of losing, you know?
No, but the thing is that this guy in particular, like, I wasn't saying shit. I'm like, this referee's been pretty bad, somewhat bent. And then towards the end of the match, someone made the inference to me that this was the same one from the RVP sending off, right? Because Giroud got a yellow card for kicking after the ball, and it's like, oh, he gave him a yellow? Because, of course, this is the guy who sent RVP off, and then it was also in the all the shitty decisions against Milan two seasons ago, right? So what a fucking class. And that guy does not deserve to be officiating in the Champions League anymore. I mean, at least send him to Thursdays and Spurs days, because that's where he fits. That guy's a fucking clown. But regardless, I mean, I understand that once you're down to 10 men and down 1-0, you can't really chase the match because, you know, if we had to be given up that second, even just 2 minutes earlier, that onslaught of that last moment would have been pretty insane.
It's very, very difficult to chase a man when you're trying to play two center holding midfielders and one is going forward. Flamini was trying to play attacking. I don't understand. I didn't understand that. I don't understand why Flamini was going forward 4 or 5 runs and losing it like a, I don't know what to compare him to. I mean, he was just losing the ball. And like it would have been made more sense if we either brought on a midfielder at the time, but we didn't. So we suffered, and a loss is a loss.
Yeah. So let's talk about the repercussions of this, because I was never really worried about us being knocked out of the tournament, but I was severely concerned even once we had that result and both teams were through. I was just like, we need a goal. We need to sneak a goal because it was inevitable. Dortmund score late winners. Marseille were terrible. They went down, you know, they equalized early. They went down to 10 men. You always knew Dortmund were going to get that winner. And they did.
The Dortmund fans didn't know.
No, you were right. They were probably a little more nervous. They were way more nervous. But if you ask any of them, what do they expect Dortmund to do? What have Dortmund done in this competition over the past year? Score late dramatic winners. And so it was always going to happen. It was always going to happen. I had no doubt in my mind. And I was just like, fuck, we're going to be second. We're going to be drawn against all these other teams. And we're now left with a draw of our potential opponents being Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, PSG. And did I miss any? Is that it?
We're going to get PSG.
Yeah. I don't care who we get.
We're going to get PSG.
So,
was that all of them, though? Was that all? I think there's 5 teams, right?
I think so.
Bayern, the three Spanish teams, and PSG, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. One team you don't want to face.
Arsenal.
We're getting there.
I don't care about facing them all, any of them.
You don't care about facing any of them?
I don't either, actually. Not this season.
I mean, okay, so I'm just trying to look, if we'd have got first, it would have been great because we would have had pretty much, you know, pretty,
a kind of
for the most part, other than,
with.
Okay, for one more round.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get, so what? What does that really do for us? One more round. Just other than money, what does it really do for the squad?
It's all about the money, baby. Well, I mean, here's the thing.
It's not that much. Look, it's not that much money.
This is why I'm conflicted. I know. I'm just talking shit about the money. But the thing is that what I always want, I do love the glamour ties. I do love facing these big clubs. But I also want Arsenal to face the team that I feel we could progress against. You know, the best. So,
well, right, but that's only one more round. I mean, the next round.
You're right, but sometimes teams. I mean, look at like when Chelsea won a couple of years ago. You know, they skirted past a couple easy opponents. I mean, let's be honest. It is easier if you can have one or two of the ties be against some upstart or some, you know, minority, you know, some smaller team. You know, you get Olympiacos in the first knockout round, you're pretty happy. And especially because you look at, you know, I heard something about the fixture congestion of what we have around this next Champions League fixture. And we have a really, really tough schedule in February when these matches are. So if you imagine, well, maybe in this tough run of the league, and we think we have Spurs and someone else. I mean, those Spurs aren't too tough. But, you know, you look at where it falls on the calendar, and all of a sudden you're looking like, well, shit, it'd be nice if it was Olympiacos then instead of Bayern or Barca. And then maybe in the next round, it would be our fixtures round would be Swansea and Hull or something. So it would be a little bit different. So, I mean,
but we have to beat anybody. Yeah, but there's a lot of different.
We're always going to play the best available anyway. You know, we're not going to rest anybody anyway.
Right. No, not for a Champions League knockout match.
For the I mean, for the knockout matches, knockout stages, we do need to progress to the next stage after this one. We need to get to the last 16 at least because of the coefficients.
You mean the last eight?
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe in the last eight. Yeah, are we, we're in the last
this,
16
this
now.
This is
aren't
round
we?
Of 16. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we need to progress past the round of 16 because
to maintain our coefficient.
Yeah, so that we're top seeds next year. That's slightly important. It's not the most important thing, but it's. I mean, would you want to? You don't want to enter.
It's certainly useful.
It helps for next year anyway. We also want prestige. We want all of that. We want to beat the big teams. You know, in 2009, we had two easy games. We had a weakened Villarreal, and we had a weakened Porto team, and we beat them 5-0 or 6-0, something like that. And we lost away, but we beat them 5-0 at home at Porto. And I think we beat Villarreal, I think was at home as well, but we drew against away. I don't know. But anyway, those were considered easy. And then we had United. And when we had United, they completely screwed us over. Ronaldo ruined us, gave us made
this
mistake.
The semifinal, yeah, we got.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we got ruined.
But still,
you made it to the semifinal. I mean, I'd rather be on that stage and getting there, but it doesn't matter. We're going to get a big team no matter what. It's going to be a difficult draw. Some people are saying, what's the ideal draw? What's the ideal draw? Well, give me your perfect team.
There Alex. Isn't one now.
All right, pick one.
Yeah, but for me,
Barcelona.
If I knew that we were going to be on form and we had all our players fit,
We don't know any of that shit.
But if I knew, I would choose Barcelona or Madrid. If I didn't know, I would choose Atletico or PSG. I don't want to face Bayern yet, personally. But it looks like in the practice rounds, I think we'll face them.
All right. Well, look, I think I agree. Joseph brought up a very good point about PSG because I don't worry about PSG. I mean, PSG are a good team playing in a much weaker league, but that also allows them to rest players for every one of these matches, which I think would be huge in that situation. Like you said, you look at our league fixtures and they're probably playing fucking Evian and Montpellier or something in the, you know what I mean? Like they're not going to have these. They're going to rest. They're going to rotate. They're going to be sitting comfortably on top of the league like they are now, and they're not going to have to, you know, Ibra and Cavani are going to sit out.
Their league will probably postpone a match for them and allow them to have extra rest.
Imagine.
Not like the Premier League.
Imagine
Premier League
won't do that. Look at what the Bundesliga do for their teams. It's quite useful. And it's bringing them a lot of success. But you look at these
because
teams,
they
right?
Care.
But so I'm looking at these opponents. So a lot of people are saying, now correct me if I'm wrong here, probably the team that people want to avoid most is Bayern because they are on form best in the world right now, current treble holders and European champions. Is that a fair statement?
We beat them, but it's...
They're probably the scariest
I don't want to face them because of the way they play now.
Is there a scarier side in that draw
because
than
it bores,
Bayern?
It bores the hell out of me.
Is there a scarier side than Bayern? Are they the number one?
Back.
Okay.
No, I think that's the number one.
Okay. And then what would be the weakest? Just throw it out there. Pick one team.
Would expect it to be Atletico Madrid, except they're not really weak right now.
No. Yeah. I understand people saying Atletico. You know, I've been watching them very closely, and I don't think anyone really wants – like if you were to say it on form, you'd almost say Real Madrid would be the team you'd want to face, even though on paper that's one of the worst matchups. You're thinking Cristiano and Gareth Bale on the other side, and it's Real and all that. But for once in this, my living memory, Atletico actually seemed a tougher destination than Real, just based on form. I mean, we can't expect this to be the same in February, which you know is going to be a big – who knows how form can change over that. And you look at Atletico. Atletico have a lot of what Arsenal have this year in terms of a squad that hasn't been changed so much, only a few pieces coming in and out. I mean, they lost Falcao. Huge loss. But now they're playing just as well, if not better. And Diego Costa is on fire. So you just look at them in terms of squad depth, and you would hope that maybe an injury or something in the meantime could happen because they don't have the depth at position that some of those other places do. But I'm with you. I'm with you, Joseph. I want Barca. You know, why not?
Bring me too.
Barcelona, Real Madrid, either one. Bring them on. That's what I'd like.
Real Madrid have the last 3-4 seasons in the Champions League, they've proven that their defense, it's not there, and nothing in the league has changed that view. You know,
right?
They can be taken apart by top opposition. Their defense is really weak when it comes to top opposition.
Yet they're still devastating attack.
Yeah, they are. But so can we be if we're on form.
Right.
All we have to do is worry about our game at the end of the day. But, yeah, I mean, they are devastating attack.
I think it'd be a little silly to jump ahead and think that, you know, that Atletico would be the easiest opposition looking forward because
they would be unknown to Arsenal as well. Very unknown. I mean, Arsene Wenger knows the French league inside out far more than he'll know about Atletico. So I think he'll know so much about PSG, you know? Imagine how much he knows about PSG.
But here's the thing. Like, regardless of how much you know, look at the caliber of the player at each position. You may know a team inside and out, but if their team is full of more quality stars than the other, you got to think that, you know, it makes it a tougher proposition.
I don't think PSG have more stars than we do. Maybe in name, but not in quality.
I don't know.
Who are the stars?
It's a wash at best for us.
I think in different positions. I'd probably give it to them, but I'd say midfield.
Zlatan,
not too bad.
Ibra, you know, Lucas Moura, Lavezzi.
Moura isn't a star, though. He hasn't done much.
Bring him over and he'll be a star at Arsenal. The guy's a fucking superstar.
Yeah, I know he's great. I'm just saying he's not a star yet.
Okay, but... He's better than, I don't know. I can't think of many better options than him on the wing, you know?
Townsend?
I'd trade him for Theo straight up.
You would?
Crack.
Hell yeah.
I would not trade Theo for anything. I've seen Morris finishing.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I guess his finishing could use a little development.
You're on crack.
We'll get to your boy. He played well at the weekend. We'll get there. We'll get there.
He played well every time he's showed up.
Yeah, he's been very good.
So the draw will be Monday. Our fate will be sealed. One of those top dogs will be shaking in their boots. Because that's the one thing we do need to get to, too, is that all of a sudden this draw has been turned upside down. Most of the people topping the group were probably looking to avoid City. As the one bogey team, and now, well, I guess you may have said maybe Arsenal was struck more fear, but after the weekend that might have changed. But then these are the two sides that no one wants to meet, right? All of a sudden, this is the draw that nobody wants. I think the papers in Spain were already saying, right, that Barcelona Real don't want to draw Arsenal after what happened, and that's a good thing, is that no one wants to face us in the next round. We are a very, very dangerous prospect, and it's. You know,
no one's going to want to face City at the Etihad, that's for sure.
No, no one's going to want that either. But those are the two draws, right? Whoever gets that is the one who's really in for trouble. And, you know, and I don't know, hope... Go on.
PSG, who's their defenders? Who are their defenders? Alex? Who's their right back?
Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
Yale?
Silva.
What was that?
Who's their right back?
Yale or whatever? The Jale?
Jale.
But he doesn't even have Van der Wiel.
Oh, Van der Veel as well. Left back.
I forget at the moment. They have Maxwell.
Maxwell. Okay, we can take Maxwell. Theo can take Maxwell any day. That's why Barcelona hated us back then.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, their midfield, Matuidi, and I don't know. He's actually had a really solid season.
Yeah.
But regardless, I mean, PSG, they'll be an interesting prospect. I mean, look, I'm not going to be – if we get PSG, I'm not disappointed. The only team I don't want to face in this round is Bayern, just because it's who we faced last season. They're undoubtedly top in the world at the moment, you know, in terms of standing and form. You know, they're killing it. I'm not saying we couldn't go in there and beat them again, because obviously we're the only team to go in there and do that in the past year. But, you know, I do want to progress. And that's the worst chance of progression is Bayern. Yeah, that'd be great. I would love them in the final. I wouldn't want anyone, I mean, other than like Barcelona again in the final or something like that, but, you know, it'd be nice. Hey, if we draw Barcelona, is there any way we can make sure Messi's injured for that? Because, you know, in the history books, no one remembers who was out or injured for the matches. I want to face him without Messi.
Right.
I don't think he's injured. I think
he's fucking injured.
Taking care of He's taking care of his taxes.
Nah, bullshit. Bullshit. Dude, he's been overplayed. He's been overplayed for the past how many years, and he's been playing through injury and niggles, and it catches up to him. There's no way around it. And he has to rest now because he's got a World Cup that he has to be ready for. You know? Take the rest of December, enjoy the Christmas break, try to come back in January once you're ready.
He must feel like a pincushion with all the injections they're probably giving him.
Dude, oh yeah.
And he's got to be so mad, cuz you know his ego is so big. He hates the fact that he's already like taken himself out of consideration for next year's trophies. You know, the personal accolades, cuz it looks like it's going to be Cristiano's year coming up unless Zlatan continues to go off, but we shall see. So that draw will be done on Monday, tomorrow, bright and early.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting whoever we get. I really don't care. I just want to miss Bayern. The rest of them are going to be shaking in their boots that the Arsenal are coming to town. And, you know, Thierry made a good point, I believe, on BBC after the match. He's saying, you know, you look at when we drew Real, I think it was in – was it 06 on the run in 06? Where we
drew, 06,
yeah. We went and beat them in the Bernabeu and – you know, and you look at what kind of catalyst effect that can have on a team, right? Well, how that can spur them forward. You know, a big result. Like, why not? Like, you know, Messi would be up for that match. You go in. Let's go to Madrid. Let's hit him in the mouth.
Both Juve and Real were really like big heavyweights in 06, but they were tired and old heavyweights, you know. And you knew they were dying, like just like Milan was. And the last time we faced Milan, there was like that was like the last part of Milan we would face that had like. Proper
they were garbage then too. We were shit for letting them fucking win. Straight up. I mean, they were not good then. That was not a good Milan side.
You can say that too, but I mean, who did they play after us? Spurs or Barcelona?
No, I think I don't remember, but they got knocked out.
Yeah, they got knocked out. Right. Yeah, that affects some people.
So you're ready to move on to the weekend?
Yeah.
Let's get to City. Lots of exciting stuff to talk about at City. We went up to Manchester City to the
Etihad,
the Middle Eastlands, and took on a flying City side that wore, 7-for-7 and wins at home? Or are they 7-for-7 now? Whatever.
Yes, 7. They're 8-for-8, I think.
They're 8-for-8 now. Taking on the league's best offense, taking on the league's best defense. And it finished 6-3 to City, which you'd probably say, I mean, I don't know. I think it's a flattering scoreline by like one goal or so. I think once it was like 5-3 in those dying minutes, I was like, this is about a fair score for this match. You know, it was a little bit brutal. You know, this game was very open and full of chances. There were plenty of opportunities for both sides to get off the mark. Both sides missed plenty of chances.
Full of mistakes, full of disappointments, full of referee errors.
Horrible mistakes. Three errors, three goals.
Giveaways. You look at Ozil's face. I was just rewatching it. I was looking at Ozil's face after Flamini ran with that ball instead of taking a touch, and then it just got away from him. That was brutal. That was kind of like that killer moment, right? Because it was 2-1 at the time, and that's what gave him that third goal to give him that cushion. And I thought that
even
thought that
at
was
three, even at, even at 3-2 and 4-2, and nothing went our way.
They were clinical. They took great chances.
I was watching those goals again. You look at what – I mean, obviously, Aguero with a good finish on the first one. I thought the second goal was very impressive from them, right? That quick movement out wide, perfect ball to the near post. I think Negredo with the finish, right? First-time finish, quick pass Chesney, and there's nothing you can do. It was devastating.
Yes, there is. Jack Wilshere had to cover him. Real did. Neither did. They have to cover him. They had to. That's their job.
But
they didn't do it.
I thought there was – I mean, there were certainly the individual mistakes that were made, but I thought a lot of it was – I mean, we got – there were mistakes in the buildup, right? The giveaway of the ball, conceding possession. But the way they hit us on the break, I thought a lot of their work for the goal specifically after whatever the mistake was that led to it was good attacking football, and they were just finishing with aplomb. I mean, I thought they were well taken. Was it the third goal? Third or fourth goal where – third goal was Fernandinho's, right, where he took it and then just clipped it over in the corner. It was the fourth goal, which it was kind of like – I don't know who was more responsible.
Silva.
The Silva goal. It was Vermaelen marking from the front and Mertesacker behind.
It wasn't Vermaelen's fault. It was Monreal and Mertesacker.
Right.
Monreal didn't close Navas down and that allowed him to cross. hitting close on the cross. You have to close it down as a left back. That's what we do. Yeah. I'm not a left back, but that's what, this, but that's what
like,
they that's do.
What we do. Like, when did you play left back, man?
Yeah. Arsenal. But yeah, Mertesacker, I can excuse him for the pace, whatnot, but usually he gets ahead of them. He didn't there, and that happens. But I think maybe he expected Monreal to close him down. Maybe sometimes the cross is just so good. But you can say that.
Yeah, no, it was a very good cross, and it was also, like, I don't know. I watched it a couple times in review, and I was trying to figure out, because Vermaelen leaves the space that the pass went into, you know, like a split second before. But, I mean, that's also him anticipating a cross to the near post, so he steps there.
Or he was watching some other players.
No, there wasn't any other player. I mean, I was watching.
No other players?
No, there wasn't another player. Okay. He was in front of Silva, and Mertesacker was behind. And he stepped towards the line, and the pass came right where he had been. So
that's
It was tough. I mean, I think all around
otherwise, he had a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Vermaelen filled it. I thought Vermaelen deputized fine. I don't think six goals is reflective of, you know, like, I wouldn't say that the Koscielny injury cost us in that regard. I mean, obviously, who knows what it would be. We probably wouldn't have shipped six if Kost was still there, but I wouldn't fault Vermaelen anything specifically for the performance. We just got ripped a new one, man. You know? City are – here's the plain truth. City are pretty fucking good, you know?
Well, I mean, honestly, I thought coming out of there with a point would have been the best result we could have got. At the same point, we – for the first time, honestly, for a while, we created a ton of chances.
Yeah, we did. So many chances.
It was so open. We haven't really been creating that many chances.
Right. Yeah, and then that was different. You know, we did score three goals. I mean, the first one was a bit surprising. I mean, it just kind of surprised how it went through and scored. But it was, you know, we were creating chances. But you're never gonna, you know, once you concede the third,
could have had four.
Yeah. You could have. But, once we conceded the third goal, you know, it was rough.
Man City.
Oh, yeah, we're chasing the game. So what are you going to do? We keep going forward.
Go on, Alex.
Man City tried to buy our players. They tried to buy our philosophy, our style. They tried to buy everything. And they finally started to play like us, you know. They did to us what we do to other teams. And they exposed us. I wouldn't say that Man City are ridiculously good. The reason we're top of the league is because we've been the best side so far. You know, we've played Man City, United, we've played Tottenham and Liverpool, and Everton and Southampton. We've only got Chelsea left to play.
Right.
And if we beat them, we'll draw with them next week, we'll be on top of the league, and that speaks for itself. You know, after 18 games, I mean, some of them have been home, some of them away, but we've stopped top of the league. So I wouldn't say that they're ridiculously good, because when they were playing the likes of Cardiff, you know, they were terrible. When they were playing Stoke, they were terrible.
But this is the potential that the City side has, though. I mean, I'm not saying they have not been amazing every match. They've still – when was the last time they dropped points? A couple of weeks ago, right? 2-3 weeks ago, they fucked up away again. So they haven't rid themselves of that yet. They have yet to look good with regularity away from the Etihad. But
like, even after Etihad yesterday, you saw how many chances we created. Okay, it seems like you only see a defender's frailty when the goal goes in. You know, I saw how many mistakes. Even Yaya Toure was making mistakes. He was great, but he was still making loads of mistakes in midfield. Kompany was making loads of mistakes. Demichelis made shitloads of mistakes. Clichy made loads. Even Zabaleta made loads. We didn't punish them. We punished them on three,
Well, we did. I mean, honestly, you know, you think it's good enough to get a point if you score three goals. You know, and if you concede
more
than that, you deserve to lose if you concede more than three. So, I mean, offensively, yeah, it's like, well, we could have buried more chances, but really, what did you expect to go to Etihad and score more than three goals? If you told me before the match you're going to score three goals, I would have said, you know, all right, we're definitely getting a point because we're not going to ship more than three. But shit happens.
Yeah, but there's two or three things that are really important. Like for example, Giroud. The referee called an offside for his first the volley for the net in the second half. Which replay shows it was onside, and the City defenders acted. They stopped playing before the whistle even went, so they just assumed it was offside anyway.
Right.
Okay. And also, for the call. And Bentner was online. He was on the actual line. What I first saw, I thought was offside, but other people have said it was onside. That's another goal. Wilshere, he flicked it on. And whose arm did it hit? Zabaleta?
Sure.
It hit his arm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was a Wilshere flick on. It was a penalty. They didn't give it. It hit Zabaleta's arm. It didn't go through the deal.
Right, but I mean, it's enough making excuses, man. I mean, we weren't good enough. We didn't get the rub of the green.
There's accepting that you're not good enough, but also like realizing that obviously a lot of different events like transpire to make the game so open, to make our defense making more mistakes. You know,
we were in that second half, though. We were torn to pieces. That we had right, shattered but, legs. Right.
Definitely, but if we had made it 3-3,
we had to be open, though.
Yeah, we had to be.
And we had to be
open. If we made it 3-3,
what are we going to do? Set up shop?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean, we were so obviously fatigued and tired, and we were just giving them so much space because we were throwing everything forward. I mean, it's to be expected.
Hawking, if at 3-2 we get a penalty and we score. Okay, is Arsene going to bring on a more defender, a ball keeper, or is he going to bring on Gnabry or Bentner?
I don't know, man. It's tough to say. Can't always predict his tactics.
He took Flamini out. Who did he put in his place?
Gnabry.
Yeah. Right. And then our entire midfield was completely exposed because we had to attack. And it made us attack more.
Yeah, and that's what we had to do. We had to chase the match. So, I mean, what I don't know what you expect.
I don't know. I just wish we got our calls.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's no use crying over calls, though. I mean, there isn't.
But where does it end? Every time we're outplayed.
Where does what end?
Like, officiating. Getting bad calls constantly. What's the point where you say, okay, well, am I even going to count? Like, what's the point of even watching football if every time you watch it, you feel like 10 calls are made against you, like, unfavorably? And it's like, it feels like they're doing it on purpose.
Well, yeah, but we had a run, right? We had that week where it ended up with defeat against United, but we were very fortunate two matches in a row. Liverpool and Dortmund, where we got the rub of the green. We got all the calls. We got all the bounces. Right? No one seems to
We got the right calls.
Okay, so we got the right calls and we got the right bounces. In those matches, there were many a chance. Like, remember, you know, like the ball falling to Royce's leg and he swings and misses and it hits off his standing leg. Like, that never happens, you know? Things fell the right way. Bounces went the right way. Things were going in the correct direction. We didn't get hosed by any big calls. But what I'm saying is, you know, we got a nice rub of the green for a week or so, and it was just – it felt weird because as Arsenal, we're used to getting the raw end. But I mean, that's how it goes. It's the ebb and flow of the game, and the only way you can overcome this is to be absolutely better than the team you're playing, regardless to where you can make up for these types of indiscretions.
But, Joaquin, games against top opposition, you know, they are so tight, you know. A little tiny decision can change the entire match. And everyone just seems to like ignore this and just act like it's, you know, like if a referee makes a big call the wrong way, it's like, okay, just get on with it. And like, it doesn't level out. It never levels out. And it feels like it's not just us, you know, I can say against Spurs too, it doesn't really level out for them either. It just feels like, fans want to take away the credit of the team or the club or the manager or whatever, because they think it was just because the referee didn't call it, it means the entire effort of the team was like disgraceful, you know? If we had got a 3-3 at City, even with all those terrible mistakes, it would have changed everything, you know? And that 3-3 could have happened out of one officiating call being right, you know?
Yeah, but now we're splitting hairs, though. We're getting down to one officiating call being different. Yes, but, you know, no one remembers these things. Like, you know, in the books, right? Like, when we're missing a player due to suspension, like, we're just making jokes about Messi. If Messi's not there, I was like, the history books don't tell about who was omitted from a match or who wasn't there. Like, yes, decisions are made, but in the end, all that matters is who wins. So,
Yeah, but if we only care about who wins and not why it happens, then it kind of takes away something.
Well, I mean, are you devastated by this defeat?
In a way, yes, I am.
Why?
Yeah, because we had a chance to say something or to keep a position, and we didn't do it.
There's a chance, you know, next week.
Yeah, but again, like you say that, but if I feel that no matter what the referee does on the pitch affects us, and we just shut up after the game, like there's a chance that it might happen this game. Like say with Chelsea, say against Chelsea, we have two penalties denied that were obvious penalties, and they have a dive and they get a penalty, and they win 1-0. After the game, you're going to tell me what they played better or whatnot. But really, what can I say then? Like,
no, I'm not going to say that they played better if that's the case. But I'm just saying, like, what the fuck difference does it make, man? There's bad calls every week. You have to live with it. And I mean, you know, like I believe just as much into, you know, whether people get favorable calls, whether there's an agenda. I don't think there's an agenda in the refereeing. I don't. Maybe I'm naive to think that, but the, you know, like we just have to make do. And this is a fixture that most of us probably didn't expect to win. We haven't.
No, you're right.
But it's the great thing is better than anything else, right? Better than having Hull or Palace next week is that we have over a week to rest. We'll be facing, you know, Chelsea at home, a manager who we've never beaten. And it's the perfect opportunity to bounce back from said defeat.
Yeah,
I'm not devastated by the City loss because most people said, look, has anybody gotten a point at City? No, not one fucking team. You know, did I expect to get six put past us? By no means. But it doesn't change anything. You look at like, look at where we stand, right? You were talking about how, you know, after losses, you like to put these things into perspective. And like we lost to, let's be, you know, fair about this. We lost to the team that is probably the favorites for the title, right? Preseason and probably even current. Betting favorites up there with Chelsea. And yeah. And this is a team that has 100% record at home that are devastating. And they, you know, they were clinical in front of goal. They took their chances. Anyone who watched that match, no one who actually watched that match thinks that 6-3 is necessarily a fair outcome. And they understand the danger that Arsenal possessed and how that game was still in the balance up to 60-something minutes, you know. Because, you know, when did they score the fourth goal? It was 3-2.
It was 78 minutes.
So around, you know, we were fully in that match for at least 70 minutes, and no one would begrudge you for saying that, you know, Arsenal were still in it with a chance to draw, if not nick it, because you looked at how open they were. You look at these two teams, and it was enough of a feast of football. I didn't need shit to stay up for it. You know, like I somehow stayed awake for this match until 4:45, and there was enough action to where I was not dozing off by any means. I mean, there was a lot going on. So we didn't get it today. You know, we didn't get the result yesterday, but you move forward. And we have the perfect test, the perfect amount of rest. And, you know.
Well, look, I mean, if you look overall, the places we've lost other than the first one, we lost away to United. We don't play well there. We haven't for a while.
Right.
And they scored on pretty much on the one chance they really had.
Right.
And then we got, I mean, I know overall, if you look at the match, it looked tighter than the score, but the score is what it is. And they finished six chances.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good, we give up six. I don't care how we played. That's a butt kicking.
Right.
So, but those are United, maybe not, you know, but those are top teams, and I don't know that we're there yet where we can go and beat a top team in their place. We haven't proven it. So
sure. I mean, we did it at Bayern, but it's different. It's different. Cause it's not, you know,
now, I mean, I'm talking about this season with this team, you know, I'm not going to look to last year. There's a lot of different things that go on year to year, but and Champions League is different too.
Liverpool is a top team.
Yeah, but we beat them at home.
Yeah.
We'll beat them at Anfield.
Yeah, probably true.
But fuck Liverpool, top team shit. That ain't. I mean, they've been good. Suarez is playing. What is Suarez's price tag now? 80 million?
27,000 million.
You know, billion. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He won't be able.
What was that?
No one will buy him.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, they'll buy him if they can. Someone will buy him.
I mean, who's? I honestly don't know why Chelsea hasn't run at him. So I don't know.
I don't know. Real Madrid should just fucking go do it. But whatever.
When Brendan makes someone who's been banned twice in 1 year, or twice in a year and a half, a captain, it tells you about what kind of message he's trying to send to other people. You know?
Suarez is captain? What do you mean?
He was today.
Oh, was Jared not there?
Jared's
hurt for a month.
Oh, well, it's just fucking token gesture. I mean, yeah, you make him captain. Big fucking
deal. So many other players on that team.
Arsene made fucking Billy Gallus captain, so, you know.
Yeah, but that was a statement for something else. Gallus is a great leader. He wasn't a bad person, but a great... Yes, he was.
By throwing a tantrum on the pitch? No, fuck him.
Because he knew.
No great leader would ever threaten to score an own goal to force a move, man. That guy.
Maybe not, but for seven months, he got us to the top of the league, and we were like, what, 10, 12 points clear?
I wouldn't give him the credit for that.
Okay.
But then again, I won't give him credit for really anything other than being a giant prick. Anyways. City.
When are we going to play well?
When are we going to play well? Hopefully this weekend.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It's been since Liverpool, we haven't played well.
Energy levels.
Thin squad.
Yeah, I'm sure some of it, but that's what I'm saying.
Well, Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea's the perfect chance for rebound, right? I mean, there's certainly the knives are out. After this week, you know, the pundits and all the people who have hated begrudgingly saying, all right, Arsenal are title challengers, finally these past couple of weeks are sitting there with glee, sharpening their knives, just praying for another shitty result against Chelsea because they could say, the wheels have come off, Arsenal will never make it past Christmas, you know, and it's on to us. Look,
let's talk to the referee.
Fuck off about the referees, man. Give it a rest. If we're counting on referees for any results or decisions, that's when you know you're fucked. You got to make your own luck. I'm sorry. You score four goals, the referees can go fuck themselves. Like,
or you bribe them.
Okay, so then bribe them. Or you think some other team is bribing them?
We have money.
You know, you think fucking oil money got into those referees' hands? I mean, that's a big accusation. You know, if it were true, I'd like it outed, but I don't think that's the case. Unless you got some serious bribery charges, I don't want to hear any more about the fucking referees. Seriously, though.
Man City are directly connected to UEFA and FIFA sponsors. So are Chelsea.
All right. We're going to get you your own podcast for conspiracy theories about...
Read about
footballconspiracytheories.com.
Yeah. The Beck Hour. I don't know. Don't we need some kind of variation of Glenn Beck's show? What is his show called? Or no longer?
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's called
White Power, something like that.
There you go. We got your new show, Alex.
That's not my show.
Oh, why not? We'll figure it out, though. But I really think, thank God Nasri didn't score that little miserable little
punt. Oh, my God.
God, he almost did, too.
Yeah, he missed sitter. I mean, it wasn't a sitter, but, I mean, he had chances that he should have buried.
He played so well.
Fuck him. Little Chazri. I want to read more about his chin from fucking Theo's book.
Right. The double?
Yeah, the double. Looks like you've already done the double, right? Well, who said that? Parler said it to him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I love you, Ray. I knew I liked you for a reason. fucking Nasri. That's so much fun, though. Taking the piss on a guy like that. That's just so insecure about that.
I thought that was a parody. That was real. Theo's book.
That's a real excerpt from Theo's book. Ray Parler came in and then someone tipped him off. Hey, look at Nasri staring at himself in the mirror, dude. He's insecure about his chin. And he came over and told him, he's like, it looks like you've already done the devil or something like that. And that he was pissed off the rest of the day just swearing in French. Yeah. Good job, Ray. You the man. Gooner for life. Yeah, I mean, so well, let's look at Chelsea though. So we have 9 days to recover, right? So when's this match? It's Monday. We're playing on a Monday.
Monday.
And then
we're playing West Ham on Wednesday, I think.
What? Or, 1 day rest? Are we? Thursday? Wait. Maybe. Probably Thursday. You got to give us at least another day rest.
I think it's Thursday.
Yes. Friday.
Friday. Tuesday. Friday. That sounds right. Yeah. Festive period. The days all go to shit. It's just interweaved, right? It's just interwoven.
Well. If it is Friday, West Ham get 2 days more rest than us anyway.
They're West Ham. I don't care what you say about the referees. West Ham with Fat Sam. If you can't beat them, you know, rest or not.
It is Thursday. Sorry, it's less days than we thought. Yes.
Jesus. And West Ham play on Saturday.
Before? Yeah, so they get 2 days more rest.
That's but some of that. Shit.
And look what they play. Look what they play. Look what they play. West Ham play at United away.
Okay.
And then they play at home with us, so they might be saving their energy completely for us, like just playing a shitty team at Old Trafford.
I don't know, because Fat Sam is on the chopping block. So, you know, just our luck, just our luck, right? Just because you know this is how it'll work out, right? They'll go up to Old Trafford and get pasted, right? Fat Sam will get the sack. You heard it here first on the podcast. And then the new manager bounced, right? They're going to point fucking curbishly. There's someone like
that. At West Ham.
Right. You know, and it's the new manager bounce. They're gonna pick up Vyas Boas so he doesn't have to leave London.
You know that Carroll comes back this week, right? Like
of course.
He's back now.
No, he'll come back now. He'll be out until we face him.
Of course.
Of course, right? That's how it would be.
And then after that we face Hull City. Is it Hull?
Newcastle away.
Newcastle away. So we've got West Ham away, Newcastle away, and Chelsea at home. Then that's our next three games. If we get 6 points out of nine, or, you know, we should get 9 points out of nine.
Seven. But I want nine.
If we're going for the title, we have to get nine, don't we? I mean,
no, if we're going for the title, we need seven. You know, because you could accept a draw against Chelsea and then two wins against teams you have to beat. You know?
Yeah. But if we beat Chelsea, we want 6 points out of nine.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. I want 9 points out of this. And I think, look, we've emphatically beaten Chelsea a few times over the past few seasons. Courtesy of Theo.
Yeah, different manager.
Courtesy of RV Prick. It's still same old Chelsea. You're right. We've never beaten Mourinho. So look, if you want a statement of intent, this is the week to do it.
Beats himself.
You have 9 days to rest. We're going to face a Chelsea side that's deeper than ours. But now with all of this rest, we should have a fit enough first 15 that we should be able to name a very strong bench and a very strong 11 that should be fully rested and raring to go. And there's no excuses. You're at home. There's no hangover from a long trip to fucking Italy. There's no weary legs. And if they're weary still, then that's kind of what you expect with we of the title contending squads, which I really still only truly believe there are three, we have the weakest squad depth, but that's also when you have billionaires who can fund millionaires to sit on the bench. That's what you're going to get. But this is the time. I mean, like, I'm not worried about the City result. I'm really not, you know, as long as you bounce back from it. And we have the perfect opportunity to do so. And it's also the perfect opportunity for everything to go pear-shaped. So there's a lot more hinging on this match than I would think any of these others, really. I mean, this is – once again, we've come to another point where this is the biggest match of the season. You know, if we had gone to City away, and we had, let's say, at the very least drawn, right? If we had won for sure, but if we had drawn at City, then it's like, you know, we're still up there. Even if you get a bad result, a draw or a loss against Chelsea, people don't look at it. But now we're pressed.
The pressure's back.
You know, two losses in a row, but good teams, especially great teams, bounce back and respond. If we expect this team to be a title contender, which is what we do hope for them to be, and that's what they are at the moment, they need to go out and get a result against City. You know, at the very least, look, the least thing that I would accept would be a performance in which we battle and give it our all, and maybe it's a draw, you know, like, you know, a score draw, something like that.
And don't make mistakes. No more.
Well, you know, mistakes. Don't make mistakes. A well-contested battle and it ends in a draw between two heavyweights fighting the premiership. Then, like, you know, that's not a terrible day. It's not a terrible day. Granted, you know, like, we'll still be top of the league, you know, or we'll be second. Cause I believe we're 2 points ahead of Chelsea, 3 points ahead of City. If City were to win and we were to draw, I believe they'd go ahead of us because their goal difference is superior to everybody. So worst case scenario in a draw, I believe we'd be second in the league, tied for top. You know, you take that going into Christmas. You certainly do.
We're gonna have to score 19 against Chelsea, right? Or draw 19.
I think it's going to take 3 goals to beat Chelsea.
Okay.
I really do.
We're going to have a very refreshed squad. Podolski will be back. He has to be back. He's been injured for, like, forever. I mean, how?
But, you know, when you have – if there's one injury I'm willing to rest people extra for, it's coming back from a severe grade 3 hamstring strain. Because fuck hamstring injuries, and they're just the fucking worst. They're the worst.
Yeah.
he's going to start versus – he's going to get time versus West Ham. I think we won't see him until West Ham.
Well, you know, I mean, if he's fit enough, you know, you give him 15 minutes at the end as an impact sub against Chelsea. Why not? If he's fit. But, you know, that's the golden question.
If I was working at the fitness center at Arsenal, I was a fitness coach, and I knew that Giroud was on 40 or 20 or 0%, and he wasn't going to – I would stop Bentner. If I was a manager or a fitness coach, I'd put
– Well, look, if Giroud is just worn out, you know, not anything more than just strains and pains, I start him. He's got 9 days to rest. He's a professional. That is enough rest.
That's a lot of rest for him, yeah.
You know, you start Nick Bentner against West Ham. That's what you start.
You start
Giroud against Chelsea all day. No other. He's got 9 days to rest. You know, like he'll be good enough for that. As long as he's not carrying some other kind of injury, that should be more than enough time for him to be ready to go. And then you rotate after. But this is the biggest match once again of the season. You know, like I didn't care. We lost to United, but we had such a good week leading up to it that it didn't. You know, because that could have been the game. We talked about it prior to that match that like, well, if we fuck up and only have like 1 point from the week, right? If we don't get a win against Dortmund or Liverpool, you know, this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But since we did so well, the United match was like, we lost, but we were tired, we were jaded, they got lucky, they had one chance, we were the better team, which are all valid points, you know? So, I don't know, man. We've got everything to prove now, and I'm excited, because you know what? Fuck it, dude. We're gonna light him up. We're going to light him up.
I hope we do. I hope we get 9 out of 9.
What was that?
It's going to be
get 9 points.
Yeah.
I hope this until the new year we've got really good results, because after January the 10th we've got a really good run of form, really good like run of games.
And like we said, you know, like Joseph and I always said, if we're within like 5 points of the title come January, you know, go up to the top, you'll be happy. And you got to say now that we're going to be.
We're going to be.
Fuck! I pray that we're going to be right. That we should certainly be at least within touching
distance. We're going to lose like 5-0 against West Ham, just like right. Spurs did.
But let's just say, all right, we get a result. We're going to beat Chelsea. We're going to beat Chelsea. It's time now because Mourinho's fucking due. That guy's got so much bad karma and shit coming towards him. Like I expect him to get like. I'm waiting for like a manure truck to dump on his head. Like that should be like. I'm just getting visuals of something like that. Like a bird's gonna shit on him during a press conference. Inside, it's gonna be nested inside, and it'll be at Tottenham, of course, because who doesn't shit on Tottenham? Oh, speaking of which, we can get to that. At least there's one thing that they did for us this weekend, right? So even after all this, Arsenal having probably the worst weekend of the Premier League season so far, because they never want us to one up them. Spurs went out today and showed
everyone why
they're the class of North London. A 5-0 spanking by Liverpool. How many goals did Suarez have?
Two assists.
No shit. I had to, just by default, put Luis Suarez on my fantasy team and captain him because I was, even though I was having good weeks, everyone else in my league was putting. The more money, more problems was captaining Suarez, and I was just losing by default because.
Well, I have been doing it the whole time.
Right, and so I finally got on the train because I was tired of getting. I was like putting good weeks together, and I'm like 69, 70 something points, and it's like, of course, Captain Suarez. Like, all right, sorry, Ozil.
Yeah.
You're now vice captain.
I made him vice 1 week, and that was the week he scored 4.
I don't do fantasy football.
Hey, so how much longer before ABB's out?
Another loss.
Two weeks.
More loss.
2 weeks.
Will he make it to Christmas?
I think they're
still going to give him time.
I don't see who they replace with. You know, like it's not like there's.
Well, right.
Harry Redknapp.
Oh, please, oh, Christmas. Christmas.
He'd want to try to buy every available English player in January.
Oh, we can bring Scotty.
And he would sell half of the players they bought.
But guys, look at this. Tottenham play Southampton away next. They might not even win that game.
Might not. I bet on them not winning that match.
They have no center backs. Yeah. I've got Kapu playing at center back, and Dawson is suspended.
Oh dear!
And they didn't name a single center back on the bench today because they don't have one.
So it's going to be Sandro and Kapu.
Yeah,
Sandro picked up an injury and went out.
He did. Okay. And then
Paulinho did a karate kick, he's out.
Red carded. Oh dear! They're even losing their defensive midfielders.
Beautiful.
Vilas Boas has got West Brom at home after that, and Stoke at home. If he doesn't win those games, he's out. If he doesn't beat Southampton, he's out anyway. But that.
And West Brom are due for a little resurgence, right? Steve Clark just got the sack, so they'll be on a new manager bounce, right? Once they appoint someone.
January 1st, the first day of the new year, Man United at home versus Tottenham.
Oh dear. Yeah, I guess you have to give Vilas Boas until Boxing Day at least. But I mean, really, New Year's. I don't know. Maybe the Man U's a threshold, right? That'll be the nail in the
mid-table
coffin.
Mid-table clash of the year,
The battle for the Europa League?
Inter-Toto Cup. Away United.
Oh, okay.
So it's the battle for the Inter-Toto Cup.
I guess it's safe to say that you'd probably want United to thrash him that day.
Maybe, yeah.
I still always root for the 4-4 with 5 yellow cards and more karate kicks.
Yeah, bounds everywhere.
The more karate kicks, the better. Maybe Van Persie will be fit by that match and he'll be ready to get karate kicked.
I think his whole career retires.
He hopes to be injured until he can force a move in January, right? That's about where we're at. Mm.
You know what's really funny?
You know, I noticed... Go ahead. Sorry.
There's so much speculation about his future and the training methods and stuff. I mean, has he actually come out and said something? Or
I don't really give that guy the.
It was all Van Persie's camp stuff.
I think it's his agents trying to. He might go to PSG. He might go to Monaco. Why wouldn't he?
Right.
You know, he wanted the trophy so bad. He got it.
I have a sneaking suspicion because, look, Man United cannot sell him in January. Just can't do it. Can't do it. Categorically cannot sell him in January. I mean, that's like officially you're no longer a big club because we went there. We did that last season, you know, and like it's a hammer.
Not in January.
Well, right, not in January. But I mean, but in particular, it's even worse if it's in January because, you know, summer you can replace. Like, who are you going to bring in? There aren't. We're looking at strikers in January. Not to mention, look, if they find a really good striker to come in and replace RVP, we should fucking take him. Because we're much sexier RVP than United right now.
Take RVP?
No, I'm not saying to RVP. I'm saying because, like, if they were – the only way they could justify getting rid of RVP in January is if they landed a big splash striker. But they're not going to get a Cavani. They're not going to get a Suarez. They should bid $60 million for Suarez. $70 million for Suarez.
You say that, but look how boring Moyes is, you know. Moyes probably thinks Welbeck is fine. He probably thinks Welbeck is like a striker.
Because he's still on that Everton mindset, right? He's like, when he was like, we're happy with a point, right? In that other match against someone, and he was just like you're United, motherfucker. You can't be okay with this.
Before the Newcastle game, he was like, maybe it's a bad time to play Newcastle. They beat them. That's so funny.
Right.
Silly bastard. I mean, the writing's on the wall, but I mean, look at that, man. That's like, you look at what, you know, they're potentially set out to do. I mean, the impact of what his signing meant, right? Because look at how different it could be. The United did not have to have that wobble this season. I mean, it was always going to be something to be rough, but I mean, if they brought in a manager with class and, you know, a big name, maybe it wouldn't have gone perfectly well, but you got to think that they would have been much more successful in recruiting one or two big name players. They would have had an impact signing, right? If it had been Mourinho, he would have brought an impact signing or two.
Looking at all their mistakes on their team, it doesn't seem that a Thiago or a Cesc would have solved their problems.
Oh no, by no means. And I'm not saying those weren't even they weren't even looking in the right places anyway.
They weren't. They have so many different areas to fix. That. It's kind of nice and comforting to know that last year we wouldn't have been talking about them in this way. You know, we would have been in their place and they would have been in our place. And it's Freaky Friday, you know.
Yep.
But I'm going to enjoy this. They can fuck off.
Very much so. I'm excited.
And you I'm saying so. You're right. If they're going for a striker, or even anyone who's sniffing for a striker, even Chelsea, them. We should go for him.
Go in and match whatever offer. You know, if they want to bid £40 million on a striker, but hey, you can come play. Look, we have Ozil, Wilshere, Ramsey. You want to play for Cleverley and Fellaini? You know, Moyes.
If he's worth it, he's going to be bought by us. You know, and it's not like we weren't clear. I think we were clear this summer, even with the Bar thing. The Bar thing was so obvious that we wanted one. We couldn't get one last minute, so hopefully it carries on to January and it would make a definite purchase. If it's someone like Bar for a loan, it means that we want one this summer. We'll see how it goes, you know.
We'll see. I'm not too worried about the January talk. Let's get through this month. Let's stay top of the league. My goal. Look. We get this win against Chelsea, then we would put ourselves 5 points ahead of them. City would probably still be 3 points behind us. There's no reason to think we couldn't be top or level come the new year. So, you know, let's do it. I mean, look, if we had talked about this, you said, let's put these things into perspective. Look at where we are after so far this season. We're top of the league, a couple points clear. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time to be a Gooner. You know, it's going well. I mean, Joseph, this is what we talked about. This is what we needed to potentially, you know, maintain the title charge.
Yes, I mean, we were there. I mean, I kind of looked at the fixtures, and I thought we'd – honestly, after the first January fixture, I kind of had us still leading by one point, a single point. Just because of the fixtures that we had, and this was before the City match. And I still think we can lead through this period, even though we have one real striker. But you know, we have belief now. Hopefully the last week hasn't done too much to harm that belief that we had for, well, I don't know how many months it's been, 2 months of leading the table.
Right. But I mean, this is all we asked for, right? Sustain a lead, maintain it, learn how to lead from the front, you know, so to speak, even though that's kind of redundant, but you know, you learn how to lead the pack. And, you know, we've gotten comfortable on our perch, and we shouldn't be, willing or make it any easy to relinquish that. So, you know, let's go fuck up Chelsea.
Yeah, I'd love it.
You know?
I really would love it. I mean, honestly, that I didn't think we would beat City because I didn't think we had the squad to beat them. I just, you know, overall. But Chelsea, the biggest part is just the manager to me. It's just which manager is going to do better, and our manager hasn't really done his job versus Chelsea for a while.
Well, he has
against Mourinho.
Right. And it's about fucking time, because let's be fair. I mean, even Mourinho's he's gotten his tactics right against Arsenal many a time. So, you know, credit to him there.
Yes.
Like, I don't like giving him a lot of credit, but he has done well in those cases, and it's, you know, he is a good manager, even though he's a cunt. He's a good manager. So, you know, let's stick it to him. Joseph, give me your score prediction. I know it's early. We still have like a week until the match, but I want your prediction for this Chelsea match.
1-0, Theo.
1-0, Theo.
Yeah.
Alex?
3-1. Giroud, Theo, and Ozil.
And
Ramsey.
And Drogba's going to come from Turkey to score against us because he always scores.
Hazard.
I like it. I think it's going to be a gritty barn burner. 3-2 to the Arsenal. Theo.
Wow.
Theo at the double. And Giroud. Yeah.
Nice.
And Torres again.
I'll take any of those.
Yeah. I'll take any of those three victories. Yes. Gladly. Fuck them. No, I really think we can stick it to them. There's no reason why. And you know what? Like, there was reason to believe that Arsenal could get a result yesterday. It just didn't really work out. But legs will be rested. We'll be ready and raring to go. I'm excited. I'll be really excited. Really big up for this match because it's gonna be one hell of a match. And it's a huge test for us. Biggest match of the season so far. You know, it's a succession of big matches. But time to make a statement. You know, show them we're for real. Anything else, gentlemen? Anything you want to harp on, Alex? Missing anything out? Anything else you need to laugh at? We laughed at United. We laughed at
Spurs.
Tottenham.
Spurs. That was fun.
Yeah. Madrid drew again this week. Real.
Not good results.
Silly. Anyways, well, I guess that's enough for us from this week. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen. You can follow these fine fellows on Twitter. You can follow Alex at @the_Beck_ and Joseph at @IHateYourClub. Check them out if you don't already. You probably do. Anyways, it's a good week, gentlemen. We got what the fuck are we going to do all week? There's nobody playing all week? It's just like a little
I don't know. I'm going to get rest because I need this 9 days to rest to recover. So.
All right. You rest and recover. We'll be ready to rock. Rock out with our headphones out. Thanks, gents. We'll do it again soon. It's a pleasure. Get you guys ready.